Good morning. This is called Nothing Separates from God's Love. Nothing separates from God's love. How much do you think God loves you? We know that He loves everyone and He loves the world, etc., etc. How much does He love you? If He knows how many hair are on your head, He knows quite a bit about you. How confident are you that He loves you personally? It would be so good to have total confidence about this. And most of the time, I do not. I know what the right answer is, but in my heart of hearts, I still have to say, I believe that You love me, Lord. Help my unbelief. So, let's begin with our imagination. We cannot believe what we cannot even imagine. Strong faith requires a good imagination. So for now, just imagine that God's love is the most important force acting on your life. Gravity acts on us all the time. Gravity never stops. It pulls us toward the earth. Imagine that God's love pulls you toward Him all the time. It never lets up. Ever. Imagine that nothing could separate us from that love. And it is far stronger than gravity. Every hour of every day, God's love is the strongest force acting on your life by far. We could at least imagine that. Just imagine it. Let's turn to the Bible. Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? Paul has been describing our salvation, and now he shifts to response time. Now Paul will lead us in the only sensible response to God's salvation. How shall we respond to these wonderful things? Still in verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. The answer is so obvious, he does not need to say it. If God is for us, nobody can be against us. No doubt there. But is God really for us? How do we know that? Here's how we know. Back in Romans 5, Paul writes, here is how God shows His love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, He reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. Think about this. We were sinners. We had made ourselves God enemies. While we were in that state, God loved us. He wanted to collect us and bring us to Himself. So He gave up His Son to death. What God did is almost inconceivable. A parent hands over their child to death to accomplish some greater good. It's a horrible thought. What parent would do that? What greater good could there possibly be? And it was not just death. It was humiliating and gruesome death. This is God's love for us while we were sinners and His enemies. I'll read it again. Here is how God shows His love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, God reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. And we will say to God, I'm not sure You actually love me. Folks, that's how we know God is for us. That's how we know God loves us, by what He did to bring us in. From John, we read, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God sent His Son to die so He could bring us to Himself. That's how we know He's for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So, God sent his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. That is a gift of love and grace that we cannot imagine. God did that to bring us, his chosen ones, to himself. So Paul asks us, do you think that after that, God became stingy with grace? Does God say, I gave that for much for you, but I'm giving you no more? Now you have to earn your own way in? Is that what we think? That after that indescribable gift, God turns into a grace miser, keeping it all? No more grace for you. It's ludicrous to think that, but we actually do. We insult God and we make ourselves miserable because we do not believe that he will graciously give us all things. No, Paul says, he will never be a grace miser. God did not become stingy with grace. He who did not spare his own Son, but handed him over for us all, he will certainly, along with him, graciously give us all things. If he was that gracious when we were sinners and enemies, my brothers and sisters, his grace will certainly see us through whatever grace we might need from him now. Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So the question, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Certainly not God. God, our accuser? Never. One of the things we fear will separate us from God's love is our sins. We do still sin. Paul says yes, but that will never separate us from God's love. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. You see, God's whole project in atonement was to make atonement for sinners who were his enemies. For Paul, that God would turn around and accuse us, bring charges against us after that is ridiculous. Everything God did through Christ was to get rid of the charges against us. God is never our accuser, so no one else can be either. Our sins will not separate us from the love of God. In verse 34, Paul shifts to Christ. Who then will condemn us? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who then will condemn us? Certainly not Christ. Let's talk about Christ's love. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her. 1 John 3, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This still goes after our fear that our sins will separate us from the love of God and of Christ. Who will condemn us? Nobody. Certainly not Christ. Would God accuse us? Never. See, God's whole plan was to get rid of the accusations against us. Would Christ condemn us? Never. His whole plan was to lay down his life so that we could not be condemned. Furthermore, Christ Jesus is beside God and is interceding for us. Christ lives to bring us to the Father. That's his passion. He is interceding the way Moses prayed for Israel in the golden calf story. Christ makes sure that no one will condemn us, and he is the last one to condemn us. People, we're probably as bad as we think we are. But if we think our sins will separate us from God's love and Christ's love, we have lost sight of how much they loved us when we were lost in sin and enemies. We have lost sight of how much they have done to make sure that accusations and condemnation can no longer happen. I'm going to read our text again. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Certainly not God. God our accuser? Never. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Certainly not Christ. Christ condemn us? Never. Christ Jesus died, more than that, was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, interceding for us to make sure nobody condemns us. Listen, God might address our sins from time to time, but they never cause the slightest hesitation or pause in his relentless love, his overwhelming, indescribable love. All God did through Christ's death, and all that Christ did in going to the cross, was exactly so that our sins would no longer be any barrier between us and God. Can our sins separate us from the love of God? No. Can trouble separate us from the love of Christ? No. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Troubles make us wonder if the Lord is angry at us. At the very least, severe ongoing trouble makes it seem as if the Lord is not paying attention at all. If he cared for us, he would not let this happen. At some level, we know that's not true, but in the situation, it is very hard to believe that the Lord could have real love for us and still let this happen. But troubles, people, never mean separation from the love of Christ, from the love of God that comes through Christ. Never. Remember what happened to Christ. Because of God, Jesus was considered as a sheep to be slaughtered. Well, so are we. He was the Lamb of God. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. When we suffer, that's the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. God is creating a bond between Christ and us because he suffered and we also suffer. That's the bond. We suffer because we are bound to Christ and he suffered. We participate in his sufferings. His sufferings overflow to us. Everybody. We don't like it. He didn't like it either. We feel forsaken. So did he. But he loves us as much as ever. And in all these things, we are more than conquerors. This is incredible. We not only survive, we not only endure, but we conquer, we triumph. In fact, we not only conquer, we are more than conquerors. We are not only triumphant in all these things, we are more than triumphant. We don't feel like it at the time, but we are. Christ didn't feel triumphant at the time either. Do you know what being more than conquerors looks like? It is when our face is being pressed hard into the mud and rubbed there. It is when our face is being rubbed in our own blood. In these things, we are more than conquerors. That's what happened to Jesus and to Paul, and that's what he's talking about. Why are we more than conquerors in these things? Because Christ's love for us makes that happen. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No. In all these things, while they're happening, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Christ's love for us is so great that in all our troubles, we are actually more than conquerors, total victors. How does it happen? His love makes it happen. Relax. Our sins cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Our troubles cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. And lastly, in case there was anything left, nor can anything else, Romans 8:38. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This list deliberately collects anything else that hasn't been already covered. These won't separate us from this love either. Nothing is able to separate us from the indescribable love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we know God loves us? Scripture. Here is how God shows his love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, he reconciled himself to us by the death of his Son. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. God gave up his Son for us all so that he could have us. That's how we know he loves us. How do we know Christ loves us? Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her. 1 John 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. When we think about God's love, we need to have a firm grasp on how we know. When we think about Christ's love, we need to have a firm grasp on how we know. Amen. Let's pray. Father, plant us and root us in your love. Give us strength to grasp how great Christ's love is. May we know his unknowable love, Father, so we can all be filled to the brim with you. And Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your love. Whether we believe it or doubt it, it's there, and it's the best thing that could happen to us. Thank you. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace give you peace at all times, in every way. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.